Proverbs, we're calling the Summer of Wisdom, as we're looking through this book, which has ancient wisdom for us, because today we turn to so many different things for wisdom. You might turn to Dr. Phil or Oprah, whoever is your wise guru, and they'll tell you to do this and change that. But when you look at the scriptures, the book of Proverbs is wisdom that's thousands of years old that we believe is inspired by God, that God has given us. And it's wisdom that we all need no matter what point in life you're at, whether you're considering a big decision. Should I change jobs? Should I move? Should I do this? Should I do that? No matter what age you are, we need wisdom. And I hope you've been reading along with us as we've been going through. I've been challenging you to just read a chapter of Proverbs per day. And I was even nice enough to just even give you 2 days off a week, so just do 5 per week. You'd be through number 20 right now if you're there. If not, you can just start right now, and it's 31 chapters. So if you do the math, it's about one for a month every day. But Proverbs is a book that has a lot of very practical wisdom and important advice for us to consider. And it's one of those things you read through it, it's like, whoa, is this written to us? Because it's the same thing. People are always people, right? People are still getting into the same messes and doing the same things. And today, we're going to talk about a topic that we actually looked at in a series that we did a few years back that Andy Stanley did a series called Destinations, and he talked about the path principle. And this was from the book of Proverbs. I know that some of you might have been there to be part of that class, but this is such an important and central part that maybe you forgot about it or maybe you weren't there when we were going through it. It's such an important part of the book of Proverbs, I think, that I wanted to talk through it a little bit today because it's just critical as you read through Proverbs. And the path principle, very simply, is this: your direction determines your destination. It's not your intentions, it's not your hopes, it's not your dreams. Your direction determines your destination. And we know this when it comes to taking a trip. Imagine that you and your family decide that you're going to go see Shamu at SeaWorld. And you go to get in the car, you have your tickets, and you're ready. You maybe have a hotel for the night where you're going to go down and stay in San Diego, and you're just ready. Here's Shamu ready for you. I learned this week that there's actually been Shamu since 1970, so this might be Shamu 25 or something, apparently. But you have your destination, you're getting ready to go down, you have the tickets, you have sunscreen, you have everything planned, you have your money, it's all set aside, and the car is packed, you're ready to go. And you get on the 5 going north. And no matter how much you dream about it and hope, no matter how much you have planned, no matter how much stuff is in your car, you have it all prepared, you got the tickets, you got everything, no matter how much you intend and you hope and you dream that you're going to get there, you're not going to get there going on the 5 North, right? I mean, you're just going to drive up to the end of the earth, wherever the 5 North ends. I think it's in Canada somewhere. But you're going in the wrong direction. And nobody, when you hear that, like, writes that down. What a profound thing. Brian said this week. I don't see you ever writing stuff that I say down. No, I'm kidding. I do see some sometimes, so I appreciate it. But that's not a profound thing when it comes to taking a trip. But when you really think about it, I think it's more profound than you think about the direction of our lives, the things that we're doing, the different pathways that we're on. Because it's easy for us to start to buy into the concept that just our hopes and dreams, well, I know I probably shouldn't do this, or I probably shouldn't give in to temptation here, but I have these intentions, I have these hopes, my hopes are still good, but I'm taking this step off to the side. That's why sometimes when you're talking with somebody, maybe something painful happened in your life, and you're retelling the person this story, and then you maybe say, and then this happened, and you're expecting them to be shocked. And then they'll say, well, what outcome did you expect? If you did all these things, what were you expecting? A different outcome? Were you thinking that something else was going to happen? It's easy for us to put our hopes in our intentions, and we think that our dreams trump the decisions that we make, but the reality is the principle of the path trumps our hopes and dreams every single time. There's a story in Proverbs chapter 7, which gets very interesting. You won't believe this is in the Bible, but I have a few volunteers. I have 3 volunteers who are going to come up. Come on, you're coming. Whoever the 3 of you were, she was supposed to pick 2 more. Voluntold, I guess, is what happened here. All right, so I'll have you up there kind of peering around. And you guys hang out. Well, actually, you stay here. You go over to that side. And so Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6 tells us this very provocative story. It starts with this: at the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. So there's this one back here looking through the window. We now have a word for that. It's creeper. But this creeper is kind of looking out over, and it's someone who's older, portrayed as wisdom. And as you've been reading through Proverbs, you see wisdom portrayed in certain ways and just folly portrayed in certain ways. And so this wise individual is kind of peering through the lenses and looking down at what's going on down below. And this person, it's a she for today, she sees among the simple, I noticed a young man, a youth who had no sense. So he's actually very intelligent, but he's playing someone with no sense right now. And I know that when you're young, you think you have the world figured out, that everyone else, you hear advice from your parents and you're like, oh, whatever, but look at what you're wearing. Like, come on, you don't really want to listen to older people. But when you're young, you lack a little bit of sense. I know that I made some terrible mistakes growing up that you think, how did I even do that? One that comes to mind, one of my worst mistakes, probably the awkwardest few minutes of my life. I decided that there was this thing at Pepperdine where we were doing some karaoke, and I thought it would be funny if I sang Sexual Healing to my friend Zach during karaoke. And I thought it would be really funny, and it was for about 15 seconds, but then it was just really awkward for the next like 3.5 minutes of that song. And I sweated like I've never sweat before and just wanted my life to end right then. But so you make decisions like that in college, and you learn, okay, karaoke, go with a short song, keep it simple, like you just do that. You know, you learn more important things in karaoke lessons too. But when you're young, you have some decisions that you need to make. Sometimes you make mistakes and you learn from them. And that's one theme of the book of Proverbs, is that as you get older, as you spend time reflecting, as you maybe are a little bit older, the old person in the room who's kind of looking down on this scene, you gain wisdom, you gain understanding. And this is so true, isn't it? You know that there are things now that as you're older, you look forward to, that when you were young, you weren't sure about. I know for me, just a few weeks ago, my mom was coming over to help us watch Carter. It was a weekend, and Mandy was taking a nap, and my mom was coming over. It was one of those rare times that we weren't going to have to watch him for a few minutes, and usually when we do that, we go out and go get dinner or something, but we were staying in, and mom was coming over to help watch Carter, and I had this thought. I said, that's so cool. Like, man, you'll get to take a nap, and I'll get to deep clean the kitchen. What an opportunity. Like, what an opportunity. And I just distinctly remember 13-year-old Brian just died inside me right now, because I didn't think, yes, I can go play some video games, or yes, I can go like hang out with my buds. It was like, yes, I can deep clean the kitchen. What a great opportunity. I mean, you have kind of different hopes and intentions, right? As you get a little bit older, you see situations differently. You see opportunities differently. And so there's this wise individual noticing this simple one here who is out in the street. And so the story continues. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Chris. He was going down the street, so go ahead, go walk down the street and try to make yourself look attractive. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night was setting. And I did not want to use a girl for this one, because you don't want to call a girl a prostitute on a Sunday. So he's trying to act that way, that he's this attractive woman as this simple man walks down the street. And as you hear this story, you kind of laugh again. You're like, is this really in the Bible? I can't believe this. Like, double checking me. You kind of know you don't need to be a Bible scholar to know what's going to happen here, right? You know that this is a situation, and I mean, maybe she is kind of at fault over here, but also the simple one who was walking that direction at that time as the dark, and it takes two people to tango, you know? I mean, you kind of see that this person, again, you don't need to be a Bible scholar to know what's going to happen. This simple individual, he's made this journey. And in his head, he's got a party like a rock star in his head or something like that, and just thinking about how great this is going to be. This is going to be just this wonderful moment. And this wise person is watching and thinking something different. So that's really the main theme of this story here, is there's two very different perspectives on this exact same scene. So the story continues. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. She's unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner, she lurks. Let's keep going. She's lurking around. Go to the next slide, Chris. We got some. Here, you can say your line when it comes up. She took hold of him and kissed him. You don't have to do that. And with a brazen face, she said, go ahead and say the line.
No way.
That's not that bad. Today I fulfilled my vow. Go ahead, you got it now. Which we read and go, what does that even mean, right? But basically what she's communicating to him is, I've been up at the temple today. I've fulfilled the vows with God. My sins are all forgiven. So let's fill our passion bucket right back up. Let's get this thing started. I'm good with God. And this is how sometimes we treat God with sin, isn't it? We think God's so dumb. I just keep doing the same sin. Then I come back and get forgiven. And you are forgiven, but there are still consequences that come with those things. But we think, yeah, God, forgive me on Sunday, but then I'm just going to get right back to what I want to do. And then I'll recommit on next Sunday, and then we'll just kind of go in this pattern. And that's what she's saying. She says, I've already done what I need to do. I'm good with God. This is good to go. Come on, let's do this. And again, you're like, is this really in the Bible? Are you kidding me? And then there's this line that is, I think, so interesting. She says, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. And this right here, if you're somebody who underlines scripture or circles things or kind of keeps track of important verses, this one is so powerful, because I think that this is so often what we experience when we experience temptation. Notice in three times it says, I've looked for you. I've found you. I came out to meet you. And this is temptation, not just when it comes to things like this kind of sketchy situation, but all kind of sin and temptation that we deal with. I think it comes to us with this kind of alluring, I came just for you. This is just, what a perfect thing for you. And this simple individual, who's very smart in real life, he gets that kind of feeling of, yeah, this is just for me. I think about all the advertising that we give, but an ad I think specifically is an old McDonald's ad that said, have you had your break today? It's kind of like, have you had your break? You deserve a break. You work so hard. You're working your hands to the bone. You have a lot going on in your family. So come on and have a break and eat a Big Mac, and you'll love yourself for about 15 minutes. That's kind of the way that temptation, whatever it is, not just in this kind of situation, temptation comes to us and says, "This, it gives you this opportunity. Just come. Just, this is perfect. It's just for you." And this simple individual, he's like, "Wow, what a great opportunity! Yeah, this is perfect. It came to me. What an amazing opportunity!" And then she continues and says, "This, my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money, which might be the source of some of their problems, and will not be home till full moon because he's gone with his man bag." So he's gone. He is good to go. They're in the clear. And this is, again, how we view sin and temptation and whatever is going on in our lives. We hear that. It's so unique. It's so personal. And it's just this great opportunity. And she basically says to him, yeah, you don't have to hurry out in the morning. We can eat breakfast. He's gone. He's out of the picture. He's not going to be back for a long time. So come on in. And this is one of the most dangerous lies, I think, that we tell ourselves, that there's no consequence for your actions. That when it comes to our lives, we're just kind of going from here to there, and it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm trying to be well-intended. I'm keeping my intentions good, but I'm going to get off the road here a little bit and go that way. And we start to believe What an opportunity. He's not going to be around for a long time. What a gift. What a chance. We can tell ourselves so easily that there's no consequence. We can kind of just go from thing to thing and it doesn't really matter. So thank you guys for your time. You did good work. The story's going to continue, but I'll let you guys sit down. But give them a hand. They did good work. But we can so easily tell ourselves that there's not really any consequence. What an opportunity. What, your husband's not going to be here and I happen to be walking by? What a great opportunity. And what a chance. It's so easy for us to believe that there's no consequences, or just to kind of see our lives as this series of random events and random opportunities. And I need to have my break today, or I need this, or I need that. And we can just see our lives as kind of this series of random events. And what Proverbs is telling us, and this is why I really wanted to talk about this today, what Proverbs is telling us is life isn't just this series of random events. The decisions that you're making, the ways that you're going with your life, it's not just an event. It's a path. It's not just one night or one decision. It's a path. It's not just one purchase that you make here or there. It's a path, and it has a certain destination. It has a certain place that you're going to end up. That there are consequences. There are things that if you go this way, if you go that way, there are consequences for what happens. Life isn't just this series of random events. And the problem is we, I think, are so conditioned to think that all I really want is what will make me happy or will fulfill me right here in this specific moment. And if we choose what is just going to make us happy or what's urgent, the thing that's just right in front of us that is just going to make us happy for that moment, Proverbs is telling us that's a dangerous, dangerous way to live. Because this wise person who's watching this scene says, "With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk." There was some smooth talk earlier. "And all at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life." There are two very different perspectives to the same scene. The person who's going through this simple-minded individual, he's just kind of walking through, and it's just this event, right? It's what a celebration, what an opportunity. It's like he's living out a music video, basically, right? I mean, wow, what a chance, what an opportunity. The person who's watching from above, look at that, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, and just in case it's not dead, then it gets an arrow in the liver, like a bird darting into a snare. And when you read this, don't you almost think of your parents talking to you when you were a kid, and you just want to roll your eyes and be like, it's just one night, it's just one party, it's just, what is the big deal? But Proverbs is telling us life isn't just this series of random events. It's not just an event. It's a path. It's so easy to just be focused on what's today and what will make me happy in this immediate moment. But Proverbs uses words over and over again like discipline and righteousness that is not just focused on what will make us happy. And this story kind of concludes with this interesting passage. "Do not let your heart turn to her ways, or stray into her paths." And this is kind of a very general principle. It's not just about a sketchy scene like that. It's all those kind of pathways that appear so easy at first. All the things that kind of grab for our attention, the things that sound good at first, maybe that just want to make us happy, that it's just going to be an event for just a moment. This older person who's watching from above says, beware. Because you might think that it's a unique experience for you, that it's just this special moment. But many people have been brought down. Her house is a highway to the grave. It's kind of like what I said before. Maybe if you're talking with a counselor about something that happened in your life and you're halfway through your story, then the counselor fills in the rest of it and you're like, how did you know? Can you read people's minds? The counselor's like, no, I talk to people for a living. That's what I do. It's kind of easy to see as you put this and this and this together. That's just the path that you were on. And we start with these good intentions, right? We want to do the right thing. We want to go down the right path, but we are saying we want this thing, but then walking this way, right? We're wanting to go in this direction. Our direction determines our destination, but we're constantly like fighting to stay on the path that we might want to be on. And so from these two perspectives, the older person sees that this one's like an ox to the slaughter. It doesn't even know. You're not like a rock star stepping into a club. You're like an ox led to the slaughter. You're like a deer with a noose, like a bird caught in a snare. And think about the things that we tell ourselves. I want to end up with a great Christian guy, but I only date cute people. I want to have a great family that loves me, but I'm going to work all the time. I want my kids to respect me, but I'm going to have an affair. I want to be able to play with my grandchildren, but supersize that. I want to know God really well, but I'm not going to spend any time in prayer. I want to be financially secure, so I'm going to keep on taking more and more debt. And that's the thing about Proverbs, is over and over again, it tells us these very practical things about life, right? Practical things about friendship and finances and righteousness and how to live out the call of God on your life. And the message of Proverbs is your path trumps your intentions. Everyone has, I think, for the most part, good intentions. Nobody on their wedding day, hopefully not, is hoping that they're going to get a divorce someday. And nobody is crossing their fingers hoping for that. Nobody is like planning the day when hopefully I can get into bankruptcy. Nobody is like planning for that when they are beginning their journey. But direction determines destination. We can get so caught up in the immediate and what makes us happy right here instead of allowing ourselves to be disciplined, instead of allowing ourselves to have a different kind of focus. So this scene, no matter what kind of situation you're in, what kind of temptation you're facing, I hope that it'll be something that you think about. Because we can't get by the path that we're on. We're moving in some direction. And the good news is that if we stay disciplined, if we stay on the roads that God has called us to, it's amazing to see how satisfying it is when we choose to dedicate ourselves in that way. We talked last week about how easy it is to just be cynical and allow cynicism to get into our lives and just be the mocker who stands in the corner. But Samantha and Michael, who helped to put the web series that they're working on together, they wrote about how satisfying it was to not just have an idea, but to go through with it, to follow through. It's such a satisfying life when you're willing to stay on the paths, even when it gets hard. Even when discipline sometimes doesn't seem great. But our direction determines destination. It's not our hopes and dreams or intentions. So what kind of dangerous paths are you on? And would you be willing to ask yourself that question this week? What kind of dangerous paths am I moving in? Are there things that I need to avoid? Are there things that I need to kind of hone back into my life because I've been kind of going in some different places, kind of straying away? Maybe that's a good conversation to have with a close friend or with a spouse or somebody who can kind of hold you accountable and tell you. Because sometimes I think it does take a perspective from someone else. Not necessarily a creeper watching you walk down the street, but someone else who's kind of seeing the direction of your life and seeing what's going on and can tell you, yeah, I think you're kind of moving in some difficult directions here. Because again, no matter how well-intentioned you are, no matter how well-planned you are to go to SeaWorld, if you get on the 5 North, you're not going to get there. It's the same for our lives. matter how great our intentions are, no matter how great our plans are, if we don't actually then follow through and discipline ourselves and stay on those roads, even though there's constantly going to be things that distract us on these ways, our intentions alone won't get us anywhere as great as they are. Because direction determines destination. Let's pray. God, I pray for all of us who may be at different points in situations, because we're all facing temptation, we're all facing issues that are distracting us from what you would want us to be focused on. I pray that we would have honest conversations with someone who's close to us, and that we would be able to ask them, and they would be able to speak your truth into our lives. Because sometimes we need a perspective from somewhere else. It will help us to clarify who we're supposed to be and where we're supposed to go. Help us to remember this story, even though it's kind of funny and we're surprised it's in the Bible, but help us to remember that powerful line that I came out here just for you. That we can get so focused in and think that situations are unique, that life is just a series of random events. And we can choose happiness over the good things, the satisfying, ultimate things of life. Father, be with us as we honestly assess and think about the paths that we're on. Because the paths that we're on are leading us somewhere. Life isn't just a series of random events. Be with us as we consider those paths this week. And help us to have honest conversations. And in places that we need correction, help us to be open to it. Call us back to the places that are so satisfying, the places that really truly will give us some eternal joy and eternal happiness. Father, I thank you for everybody here, and I pray that you and your Spirit continue to work on us, so this message has an impact that will continue to see fruit this week. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.